You are listening to episode 75 of the Cyphadelia podcast, Transforming Trek. The Cyphadelia podcast contains adult language and mature themes. Okay, not so much really, but we did talk about boobies, so, you know, don't let your kids listen. What y'all got? What are we talking about? What's going on?
Well, I have not seen the trailer for the new Transformers Michael Bay Explosion 5000 with robots and explosions.
Now, this is supposed to be the trailer where Michael Bay said, hey, yeah, you know, you guys complained about the last one, and I understand what you were talking about. It was kind of Michael Bay-y, so I'm going to tone down the Michael Bay-y and make it pure awesome, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no one was around to tell Michael Bay, hey, you know, maybe you shouldn't do exactly what you wanted. Like, you could ask some other people what they like, too, since you want to sell it to other people. See what they like. First of all, why don't we say welcome to the Cyphadelic Podcast. I'm Steve.
This is Patrick.
This is Brian.
And unfortunately, Michael isn't here with us again this evening.
He heard about we were talking about Michael Bay.
And he didn't want to hear me bitch about lens flare and explosions again, so he decided that he had to go do some real world shit instead of playing Jackass with us on the radio, or on the internet.
Internet radio. Close enough.
Yes.
Engage.
So we've got it queued up to see the trailer, and you're going to get some live reactions.
So, yeah.
Let's... Brian and I guess, Patrick, you've already seen this.
I think I have, but I probably wiped it from my memory. Well, as I recall, I was like, okay, he said he was going to change everything. I don't see him changing anything. But, you know.
So, allegedly, he's changed some
allegedly,
shit.
He said, no, I get what you were saying. I'm not going to do that shit in this movie. I got rid of Shia LaBeouf. Right?
Well, that's a step in the right direction.
That's half of what you're.
That means he
for.
Won't be yelling Bumblebee.
Oh, God. I hate that. Bumblebee! Aren't you a grown-ass man? Seriously.
Well, not according to his parents. Well, or his girlfriend.
Well...
Or his girlfriend's boyfriend.
What?
You remember when he swooped in there with Mr. Moneybags and bought her a car? Remember that?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking Megan Fox. Sorry. Not, you know, piece of ass under glass, basically. Poor Rose Huntington Wiley. Well, she probably got paid a
brace
shit ton
for
of
impact.
Money to do it. All right, we click play. Appropriate audiences.
Paramount logo.
Soulful music. It's a farmhouse. Oh, this is with Mark Wahlberg. Yeah, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Ah, yes.
At least the right type of truck.
Right, right.
For Optimus Prime.
For Optimus.
And how do I know it's Optimus Prime? When you see a cab over engine truck like that, that's the only thing I think of.
Look, they got the flag in the right direction, the right orientation.
Yeah.
Well, as you know, when something gets shot with bullets, the brass ends up in the thing you shot.
Well, that's where I keep all the casings. So apparently they did a really shitty job of keeping that secret.
Are we going to have that obnoxious CIA guy back?
Saw that lens flare. You saw that, right?
Nah, I think that CIA guy is gone.
I hope so.
Oh, now we're just manhandling American citizens, huh?
Uh-huh.
Well, that'll obviously give Optimus Prime.
Because government bad, y'all.
Yeah.
Government bad.
Government bad.
That's Hong Kong. That is more Hong Kong.
All right, so Transformers, that's green. Bumblebee, all right.
Yeah, the supercar.
Now they're doing the boom thing. When are they going to get tired of doing that?
Not for a while.
Is that Scorponok? If that was Scorponok, that would be awesome. It's not Scorponok.
It's flying.
Yeah. It's not Scorponok. Okay. That Transformer had a gun come out of its face.
Why not?
Isn't that like a metaphor for something?
Wouldn't you have a gun come out of your face if you could?
No, because that is the biggest phallic thing I have ever seen. I don't need a big giant dick popping out of my mouth. Why does
better than going in?
It had to go in. Oh yeah,
that was pretty sweet.
This one has dinosaurs in it.
Okay.
And Optimus Prime screaming.
You can see his breath.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah. Why would he be breathing? Well. Oh yeah. Does he ride that thing? That's what it's going to end with, I think.
Wow. Robot riding another.
Well, that wasn't very much, was it?
It was Optimus Prime riding a dinosaur at some point in one of these trailers, and here's the thing. In the cartoon, now if Michael was here, but he's not, so fuck him and what his opinions are. But he would say, "Oh, Dinobots, that's stupid, right? It's supposed to be in disguise, right?" I say it's a fucking cartoon. Everybody knows that the Transformers are here. So who gives a shit if one looks like a giant fucking dinosaur? It's not like I'm gonna go.
You're right. By the time the Constructicons and the Dinobots showed up, everyone was well aware that it was Transformers in this bitch.
Yes. Everyone was well aware that this car might become a robot.
And that's why Mr. Marky Mark was like, "Oh, I think we found us a Transformer."
He even knew him by name. Now, I didn't know that those names were popularized. Maybe
The legendary.
Well,
Optimus.
I mean, yeah.
That's a prime.
Optimal Optimus.
Can't divide him.
That's Beast Wars. But yeah, so in the cartoon, Dinobots, you know, yes. I
know the backstory for the Dinobots. I know that one.
I mean, even then, it wasn't even like they had like skin on them, you know,
because those were metal.
Yeah, those were metal. And cartoon, they were metal, right?
Yes.
I mean, they came up with ones that had skin on them later.
Right.
But
the original series was pretty much metallic.
Everything. Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, exactly.
In either phase.
Well, it only had to be good enough to fool other dinosaurs, as I recall. So, you know, it didn't have to be perfect.
which kind of looked
a little like a T-Rex. Right.
Which I will point out that there was an episode where the Dinobots actually found this island that was displaced in time.
Land Before Time.
Yeah, it was a Land Before Time. And the Autobots sent them there because they kept fucking things up. They were just, like, too big to keep in the arc, you know, with everybody else. They kept knocking over shit. Spilling coffee on Optimus Prime. He's like, "Fuck this. Take your asses to the dinosaur island and learn your shit."
It's like Bart Simpson with Stampy.
Yeah, pretty much. And when they were there, those other fucking dinosaurs were like, "Hey, how you doing, sir? You want some tea or something? This is dinosaur paradise." And they're like, "Dinosaur." It was great. Anyway.
These dinosaurs are dumb.
No, they were stupid. Even
by dinosaur standards, they're dumb.
Here's the thing. Grimlock called him stupid. So, yeah, they must not have had a brain in their head. So there, Dinobots makes perfect sense. Here, I don't quite get it.
No. See, Michael Bay realizes that what Transformers movies needs is time travel.
Clearly, that's what we need.
Megatron's going to go back in time and try to prevent a butterfly from fucking a T-Rex and creating humanity.
Wait.
They had big butterflies. Butterflies back then. Mothra.
That's a big fucking Twinkie.
Yes.
They're just flying rapist butterflies. They're like, "Yeah, T-Rex. Well, you my bitch now." Like, what? What the fuck? If I only had arms long enough to fight you away.
All right.
Well.
Oh, butterflies are rapists. It's like ducks.
It's gonna be the name of my
They're like
band.
Ducks if you fly.
Butterfly rapist.
Butterfly.
That was
butterflies are rapists. It's scarier.
Yes. That's the evolutionary trade off. Get to fly, unpowered flight, then the rapist. So
it's it brings a whole new meaning to monarch butterflies.
It's the Venture Brothers all over again. Right?
It is.
So So I don't get, because they're still trying to maintain this robots in disguise thing. Big giant robot dinosaur is not doing that. So I
it's no, a crossover with Jurassic Park.
Well, some of the things we saw were a gigantic, larger than half a city robot creature thing that sort of looks like a scorpion with clouds peeling off of its edges, flying into a metropolis, obviously bent on destruction.
Obviously that
being led by a walking humanoid style robot who we couldn't identify because it was too far away.
Obviously that thing was not trying to go for stealth. Okay. But no. It's the size of a city and it's flying, so why does it need to? Fuck stealth. It's kind of hard to hide. I've got clouds behind me. It's like Independence Day.
And I guess more show up, right? Was that the deal in space with the...
I don't fucking know.
Because we saw a space scene, right? With ships in space.
I must have blocked that out. I didn't even see
that. No, there were giant, like, wheel things in space. Right.
Wheel thing. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Giant Elysiums in space.
Yeah.
Only not as cool.
No, less cool.
You know what? I don't need to be scared about the Elysiums in space since they obviously have no sort of self-defense turrets on them. So fuck them. You know, whatever. Bunch of hobos in a janky spaceship could just invade the fucking place. Oh, I'm sorry. Is this your house?
The angry birds onto the space station.
Yeah.
One would think that, you know, wheel in space would be ultimate gated community, but not so much.
No.
Apparently.
No, it turns all you need is a slingshot and turn the sky off. We never did get a good answer on what the fucking means turn the sky off.
No, we never got a good answer why everybody broke through all these doors and all the doors were unlocked, too. Oh, yeah, because the movie's trying to tell us that poor
I could
people
just
are
walk
assholes.
Up to this door and it would slide open.
Yeah.
But instead, I'm going to throw a deck chair through it because I don't know how doors work.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you like your nice
not
things?
Only,
fuck your nice things.
Not only did I need to get some medical attention, but fuck your shit. All of it.
Fuck your shit. I got a scar on my leg, so fuck all y'all bitches.
Have you been down and seen how the earth is? You ain't getting another door up here for months, son.
So speaking of, did you hear what they're doing with Indiana Jones?
Oh.
They're now talking about doing reboots.
Right. Not a redo. But a reboot.
Recast.
A reimagining.
Recast a younger actor and still wedge it into existing continuity or something.
Like we're not supposed to notice. Like the new doctor for the new.
No.
New Dr. Jones.
No. Yeah. I thought you were going to say new Doctor Who. And like, no, you're supposed to know that guy's different. Yeah. It'd be more like James Bond.
Yeah.
Where they just.
Right.
Recycle. You know, it's the same guy doing the same shit, but the other guy was too old. So. I don't
know what you mean.
Harrison Ford is too old. I'm sorry.
This will cause interesting because then they'll start. I mean, you know, would they go back to the 1930s? I guess and start making the classic.
Why not?
Yeah. Okay.
Why not?
If
you're gonna do it,
pre-Nazi.
Yeah. If you're gonna do it, go to the heyday of when these stories were told. Right. You know, he had to progress in time.
Yeah.
Because Harrison Ford was getting older, and he's like, "Hey, now it's 1920, and I'm 55." No,
go back to
that, but yeah.
India and British colony.
Which you
Indiana
know
Jones.
I don't have a problem with you recasting, right? It's not because it's not really a reboot and it's not really a reimagining. It's just recasting. It's like everything but only if you want to piss me off, which they probably do. But
they probably don't even give two shits about what you think.
Obviously, you don't understand how important I am. There's a big giant board in Hollywood, and there's a little meter on it that says, how much will this piss off Patrick?
We should talk
and
about upgrading.
And if it doesn't get above 70, then they're like, we're not doing this project.
We need to talk about
Patrick
setting up
like
a website
so,
for you. That way they can just plug in the details and get a response back from, like, the IRS.
I'm just saying.
I'm sorry, we're going to have to audit your movie to determine whether or not it has pissed Patrick off.
So just, you know...
No, they do this in pre-production.
Barring stupid trailers, if they come out with an Indiana Jones movie set in the 1930s with, you know, whatever actor
Cooper is who they're...
Whatever, okay.
Is the rumor name.
Long as they don't do Temple of Doom and they're telling a new story...
A new story?
And he's still afraid of snakes and he's got the hat and the whip.
I'm in.
The humor can be there because a lot of it was just reaction shots and crazy stunts, right?
Yeah.
So.
I'm in.
You know, they're not. Are they going to get Spielberg for these? Probably not. But and are they going to get...
J.J. Abrams. He does everything else. Look,
I will slap the shit out of your mouth.
Right now.
Don't you want to see a whip with
your ears are
going to
ring
flare?
For a month.
No, I do not. The last thing I need is a...
It's going to make that... sound.
Like, what the hell is going... It'd be short round like, Indy, what's going on? I'm just walking. He pulls out his
Dr.
pistol.
Jones.
There's a fucking giant lens flare off the reflection of the fucking gun.
Or the airplane scene where he's wrestling with a guy. Ooh. Yeah, you're going to lose real bad here in about 2 seconds.
Come here, he Dr. Jones. Oh, God,
Malaram,
really?
Sularam.
Yeah, you know what? J.J. Abrams has lost his... It used to be, oh, J.J. Abrams, he's working on something? That's cool. Now yeah. I was like, oh, God, how is he going to fuck this up? Make your own new shit, J.J., where you can have all the lens flare on it. And we're like, oh, well, that's how it is, because whatever.
He needs to start shooting the perspective of someone working in a crystal shop during the 4th of July.
Like,
fine leaded crystal.
Wait. I think I heard off in the distance. He just picked up on that. He just came in his pants. So, wherever that was. Like, oh, my God. That would be the best thing ever. He's calling him up. I've got a new. I went back in on Star Trek 3. I've got an idea. They go to this planet made of crystal, and there's 5 stars.
It's volcanic.
Volcanic crystal planet with 5 stars.
You know, he just needs to make a movie with aliens that do that. Like the world's end,
doesn't he?
Right?
Just create your own race of motherfuckers
make
that
your
do
own shit.
What you want them
exactly.
to do. Then no one can say shit. We can just say, oh, that wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Instead of, hey, you shit all over something that you could have done with some respect.
You know, just a little bit of respect. I mean,
just
you know,
a smidge. You could pretend like you give two shits.
How about this? How about you hand the movie $10 and tell it to clean itself up and go home instead of just throw it at its face? And that's rude. I just
clean yourself up. You look terrible.
Exactly.
I'm done with you.
Although, okay, so speaking of J.J. and Star Trek,
fucking
right,
asshole.
Wasn't it, I think it was you, Brian, that brought to our attention the fact that one of the writers on the upcoming new Star Trek movie,
Star Trek 13,
said, you know, Star Trek's about some shit, and so I'm going to try to work that into this plot, into the script. So, you know,
I'll
thumbs
be
up
surprised.
For that.
Tentatively hopeful, no J.J., and they've got a guy whose first statement on Star Trek is, I would like it to be kind of, I would like to be it to be morally ambiguous and challenging. So that's a good first step.
It
there
is.
There are a lot
very
of other steps
step.
That need to be made.
Like the guy in charge of lens flares, just fire his ass.
No, there's no lens flare guy.
No, that's J.J.
They did.
Well, he quit. He was off to do Star Wars.
He has plenty of other people that he's schooled in the way of the lens flare, and all of them need to be decapitated.
I have to admit, I was depressed when I heard that Simon Pegg had drank the lens flare Kool-Aid. So
he was a fan of the lens flare?
Went on publicly bit a big rant about how any fan who thought the lens flare was bad was fucked up. I'm like, okay, Simon Pegg.
New mortal enemies now.
You made Paul, so I'm not going to kill you, but
you know what that's called?
You lost a lot of cool points.
That's called not biting the hand that feeds you. That's what that was.
He could have just kept his mouth shut. I get it. He's not going to get up.
No.
But
at the time, somebody asked him a direct question. And so what's he going to do? He's like, so what do you think about lens flare?
He didn't have
to. Hey, look, is that Elvis? Holy shit. What is that?
He didn't just say, well, you know, I kind of like it. He went off on fandom.
Right.
He was like calling anyone a fucking idiot if they didn't like the lens flare. I was
you
like,
sure? Now, before we get too far into this, are you sure you're not misquoting the man?
It was on the level of fucking idiot. It may not have been that, but it might not have been his exact phrase, but
recall,
it was that kind of like,
it.
I was like, seriously?
Okay. All right.
Seriously? That's right up there.
Because that is pretty much, given what I've already said on this show, I got no out for that. That is Simon Pegg calling me an asshole.
Yeah. And I love it. Well, up until then, I loved the guy. And now I'm like, really?
Son of a bitch.
You're like, oh, you are dead to me, son.
I mean, World's End.
Got a new Jim Carrey on my hands.
Spaced and Paul and all this brilliance, and then you just have to taint it all. Tainted.
Well, okay. So going back to the question about Star Trek, right?
Yes.
Where he wants it to be morally ambiguous. Was Star Trek morally ambiguous? Was Classic Trek morally ambiguous?
Sometimes. A lot of times it had a pretty firm message, but it was a message that was not politically popular at the time, and it was a message that would not have been allowed to be said outside of a science fiction show. But yeah. Oftentimes they had a fairly definite message.
Like Russian people are people?
Yeah. Admittedly, they're a bit funny.
You know what?
But yes,
that guy's dead to me.
Yeah. They did do some episodes that were a little more uncertain, like the one where Kirk's, you know, split into a good half and a bad half, and it turns out it's the bad half that has all the leadership abilities and the ability to make decision. And so
perhaps it's not such a bad idea to have a dickhead leader.
Yeah, well, you know, it turns out that maybe a little bit of dickhead is, you know,
gets the job done.
Yeah, it gets the job done.
Right.
Which is, you know, certainly not just, you know, not. I don't know. What am I trying to think here?
They need to
Care Bears.
In the force.
It's not just Care Bears
right.
moralizing. So
hugs and flowers and rainbows.
Yeah.
And...
yeah. Solve everything. So, yeah, there was some of that.
Everything is
Deep
awesome,
Space
Brian.
Nine, of course, loved to get all roll all over the gray.
True.
With Ron Moore and Michael Pillner and stuff in it.
But even though we can't really dive into that because I know that Michael would love to go into that. But you've stated that Deep Space Nine isn't really Star Trek. So...
Not for those reasons.
Okay.
Not for those reasons.
Not for those reasons.
Not
okay.
Those.
All right.
I got a whole new list of reasons why.
Yeah, yeah. Black Captain. He's racist. It's okay.
Sisko's my second favorite captain. Right after Starfleet's boy from Iowa, you know.
You can't have no competent black people on my favorite show.
I'm just jumping all over the place, but I did find Simon Pegg's quote about it's a large paragraph about
that guy Steve on the Sci-Fi Daily.
Would we be so lucky?
So turns out he said a few things about lens flares.
So it's possible that I'm only going to read the last statement. Right?
Okay. All right.
So you could say that, okay, it's taken out of context, but I don't think it is. We'll link to this so you can read the whole fucking thing. But the end of this very long thing talking about, obviously the people that detract, that don't like lens flares were obviously some stupid film student who tried to make himself sound smart by, you know, saying what lens flare was. And the end of that is, to the detractors, I offer a polite fuck you and suggest you find a new stick to beat us with if being a huge, boring, neggy balls is necessary for your personal happiness. End quote.
What? Fuck yourself. Fuck me. Fuck you.
And I actually will sort of stand around and argue with all the you guys about how good those J.J. Star Treks are, but even I can't defend shit like that. I mean, God.
Yeah, you really can't defend. Look, you can't. When they walk on the bridge.
That's straight up saying, I don't want to hear what you got to say. Yeah. I'm tired of you saying you don't like this thing in particular that I did. So fuck you for saying that you didn't like it. Man. That's some bullshit.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you.
Who's next?
Exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Pegg, I expected better.
Now,
well, you know
I'm
what?
Willing to write
in
that
his
off.
Defense, in his defense, we don't know what the situation. I don't know what the situation is. Someone knows.
Right.
I don't know what the situation was. He could have been tired, drunk. He could have been distracted. Could have been anything.
All right.
I don't know.
I will send a letter to Mr. Abrams and tell him to get the vice off your balls, Mr. Pegg, because that is the only circumstances I can think that would justify this sort of remark. Outside of being in Saturday Night Live, I'd forgive it there, too.
True enough.
Otherwise,
Aaron,
get a life.
Some bitch. Yeah.
As I stated earlier, I have already retconned this in my head to think that Simon Pegg is like, look, I am part of Star Trek. I am, you know, I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I love all of this. I... look, I don't like the lens flare, but you know what? I'm going to defend this asshole, because not only is he doing Star Trek.
Oh, he wants a fucking lightsaber.
He wants a fucking lightsaber.
Oh, you,
so
God.
He's like, I want a lens flavor. And the only way I can get one of those is if I don't talk shit about this.
Suck JJ's dick to be in Star Wars. Oh, that's a tough one.
Brian, the question is, how many times did you suck his dick to be in Star Wars? I think the only time you start saying, I'm not sure, is when it hit about 1,000. Because it's
Star Wars.
JJ could keep Brian in a closet to have at his disposal with a gimp mask and a collar. For months on end, for the whole shooting production.
I draw the line at collar, that would be embarrassing.
No, I'm pretty sure that Brian would sign up to be the Channing Tatum character in This Is the End in order to be in Star Wars.
That's right.
Now, Brian
What's
hasn't
your
seen
word,
that
Brian?
Movie.
You get to be a Jedi, though. It's got to be a Jedi.
Of course.
Yeah, I don't want to be some...
To be some stormtrooper?
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Be a Jedi.
We'll make you one of the battle droids.
That's a CGI.
Yeah. So, all right. So your
it's
line
inspired
is
inspired by you.
Even if that means
your
I
line
get
is
to visit
Roger,
Tron
Roger.
Land.
Say it right.
Roger, Roger.
Yeah. No, like you mean it. Roger, Roger.
Yeah. No dick sucking for Roger, Roger.
just a finger bang?
No.
That's foreign, the stink.
I'm not even sure if I'd say nice things about the lens flare for that. So.
Oh, shit. Foreign the stink. Oh, my God. But. Ah, that's a fisting. That's an anal fisting.
Oh, well, only if you curl them up.
No, look. You put four fingers in somebody's asshole, you're getting fisted. I don't care if it's flat.
Is that
or
what
if
the
it's balled
stink
up
means?
Yes, that's what the stink means.
I'm going to have to rethink my website.
I will have to mention here again, Mr. Pegg, since I know you're listening, that right about now is when I would normally insert a big plug for Spaced. But, you know,
I think
fuck
we
you
can stop calling him Mr. He can just be Simon.
Oh, hey, all right, now.
And he likes to make drawings.
All right, kids. We don't need to be all negative and shit.
The man just called me an asshole.
But who hasn't? I mean, come on now.
It was not in the spirit with which it's normally said. Yes.
He didn't call you an asshole. He said, fuck you. Now, that's a completely different thing. Completely different.
Well, where did he think he was going to fuck me?
In your mouth. In that sweet, sweet, delectable mouth of yours?
I think he was thinking of stink, now that I know what that means.
You know how many times people have said they want to put shit in my stink? And I was like, oh, that's nice. They mean in the trunk of my car. No, that's not what happened there.
Don't get my trunk.
I see Steve thinking about it.
Yeah, it's awful.
Here's a Star Trek related question. 2016, it's going to be the 50th anniversary of Star Trek, and Doctor Who had a modest amount of success by hyping the fucking shit out of its 50th anniversary.
That's a good thing no one responded to all that hype, right?
So, was it, like
did they even have a special or something?
Yeah,
no.
Not in the movie theaters, not in 3D or anything. So.
No.
Do you think that Paramount is going to try to push the 50th in any capacity? Because I haven't heard anything yet, but I mean, we're a few years away yet. So
it matters. Are they going to celebrate the original series? Because that's what we're measuring 50 from, right?
Yeah, from the first broadcast.
So a lot of people, of the significant people that got the ball rolling, one important one springs to mind, have already carked it. You know, they're not going to be part of the celebration. So,
well, that was basically true of Doctor Who as well.
Yeah, well, all right. I don't think that there is as big an audience for the original series as there is for some of the more contemporary stuff.
True, but the Day of the Doctor, the most hyped of the specials, focused is pretty exclusively on the last 2005 forward.
The other thing is, I think BBC has got their shit a lot more together than Paramount ever will.
Now, there's something that 15 years ago I never would have thought I'd hear here, but yes, I agree with you. I agree with you.
Well, I think that the Doctor Who community of fans is much more cohesive, and they're much more
grizzled.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're like they were probably the ones that are saying, hey, you know, it's the 50th anniversary. What are you doing? They probably did this like 5 years
ago.
Well,
it probably helps that Russell T. Davies and Steve Moffat were both drooling fanboys, which cannot be said of J.J. Abrams.
Right. So,
so if he's at the helm when the 50th rolls, I don't see that being a positive thing.
Well, J.J. won't be.
Yeah.
He's already jumped ship.
He's already jumped ship.
He's jumped ship for Star Wars.
Yeah.
But even then, I don't know if the Trekkies are, because yes, it would be the Trekkies, not the Trekkers. I don't know if the Trekkies are clamoring for give us a 50th anniversary. And the other thing is, Doctor Who, like the present, you know, Matt Smith, David Tennant, and even John Hurt, he wasn't a doctor until, you know, they did this.
Retro doctor.
Retroactively, a retroactive continuity. But yeah, no, he was there. He was there. But that's all continuing off of the original, right? Whereas with Star Trek, we said, we don't like it. It's like, because Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, even Enterprise, they are all in that same continuity. But then they said, that continuity is lame and nobody wants to watch it. So we're going to reboot it. We're going to start it over again. So,
well, Enterprise is still part of the new continuity as well, but
yes,
in name,
you are correct.
Okay,
because it happened before that.
Yeah,
so all of that is still in that continuity. But so to say, well, we're going to do the 50th anniversary, the 50th anniversary of what? The thing that you would do a 50th anniversary of, you killed because you said it wasn't selling
good enough,
right?
Wait, they could bring back Leonard Nimoy. Oh, they've done that.
Yeah. Yeah, no. This Leonard Nimoy was like, oh, yeah, I shouldn't tell you too much about the future timeline unless you ask. So,
unless you need to know some things that would dramatically help you in some way.
Yeah. Like,
Khan is a bad guy. Yeah, we knew that. He's really bad, though. Oh
well, you guys should not trust him. He's bad.
That's why we're talking to you.
Well, he's bad, though.
He's really bad. Oh, I don't know. In your time, did you realize that his blood cures everything? And were you immortal?
I didn't want to tell you that.
Actually, you know what? We were better than you. We didn't harvest people for their blood in my day. But
that's barbaric.
Whatever. That's you do what you want. I guess. I suppose. Just
you're going to end all disease by bleaching this other man dry.
Did you just walk up to him and cut his palm and then just lick the blood? Is that what you do? Like, yeah, that's pretty much how we get it out of him.
You're vampires.
I have heard that there's part of the issues is that CBS owns all the TV rights to Star Trek, and they've got no fucking interest in anything Paramount's doing. So there was like, apparently JJ had planned like wanting to do some webisode cartoons and stuff that would tie in, and CBS was like, no, we own those rights, you can't do that. So that makes me wonder, would they be more likely or less likely, would they scuttle the 50th anniversary, or would they be the ones who are actually, no, we're going to do real Star Trek for the 50th? Because CBS could just bring back Patrick Stewart or whatever the hell they wanted and do a TV movie if they wanted, and Paramount wouldn't be able to do a damn thing about it, I don't think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, CBS has complete rights to Star Trek, the TV series.
Really? So all of the TV series?
I don't know if they have the rerun rights, but I don't know if they have the rerun rights to the Deep Space Nine and Voyager and all of that, but they might, but they have complete rights to do anything new.
Okay, so if they decide, if someone makes a new TV series, they could completely throw away the whole, you know, New Kirk, blown up Romulus.
If they wanted to.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if they want to make enemies with Paramount, because obviously that's going to piss some people off, and it might not be good to have the franchise fighting each other, but
there's money to be had here.
They're obviously not buddy-buddy. Otherwise, they would have said, oh, yeah, JJ, you want to do some shit? Fine, why not? We got the rights. We'll get some money for it. You'll get some money for it. Everybody's happy.
Hey, CBS, since I know you're listening, take the audio tracks of all those old Star Trek cartoons and redo them with CGI, state-of-the-art CGI graphics with the original William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy voice acting and all of that. Re-release those for the 50th.
I'm not watching that.
Those are pretty good. They won an Emmy. Only Emmy Star Trek's ever won for a plot was from those cartoon series.
Well, you know what?
They got thrown a bone.
I'd give it a shot. I watched fucking Roughnecks, Starship Troopers Chronicles, and I love the hell out of that show. So, you know what? A little CG goes a long way for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd watch it. I'd give it a shot.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be like, no, fuck them.
I mean, some of the episodes are crap, but some of them are really good. And you put in a bunch of CG action sequences.
So, I don't know. Have you seen Intelligence? You seen that show?
I saw half of an episode of that, only what? Because you talked about it. So
Yeah. So, it's getting better, but they still have the problem of crappy fight scenes, and they half-ass a lot of the CG. And so when you have kick-ass CG right next to Sci-Fi Channel CG, you go, what the fuck was that? It stands out.
Yeah.
But the fight scenes are unforgivable. So in my mind, you can have a pretty good story, which I think Intelligence has, and even a pretty good premise, which I think Intelligence has. But if the CG that you've decided is critical to telling the story is bad?
Yeah, well, no,
it's distracting.
The whole point of this would be that you've already got the voice actors paid to some degree, and you can focus all your economic resources on a top-notch video thing.
I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm just saying I'll be fucking surprised.
Oh, no, I'm not even 100% sure what the rights are for that cartoon series. It was a little... It might be kind of complicated.
The only thing I can tell you for sure is it's complicated.
It might have been. I can't remember. I seem to recall it was
about guaranteed.
Licensed through one of those other animation studios, and they might have partial rights. They've released it on DVD, so it is workable to get
make it happen. Yeah, well, but, you know,
like Muppet Babies, where we'll never get to see it outside of certain places. So,
outside of a torrent near you. I am not sure if I can get behind your statement about the quality of the CG, because the Starship Troopers Chronicles CG was fucking fantastic. And that came out in 96, 97, 98, right? Now, the face, the people's faces.
Yeah.
Like all of that stuff, because they didn't have that technology worked out back then, right? So, you know, the IK, they had it fixed, but, you know, the mouth animations were a little stilted and all that. But if there was a shot where the people weren't in it, but it was just the equipment and the scenery, shit was gorgeous, right? So it's been...
The stuff they farmed out?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
So it's been basically, you know, it's coming on, you know, 15 years after that. I'm pretty sure they probably have that kind of worked out.
Like I said, so, I'm not saying it can't be done, but I'll be surprised.
You're just saying I don't think it's going to be done. So, and you know what?
I am.
Since this project isn't even in the works,
cautiously,
you're probably right.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't defend it so strongly, but they could do it.
Yeah.
They could.
If somebody gave a shit, they could do it. Granted, if somebody gave a shit, we could have another season of Stargate Universe. So,
Or they could bring Atlantis back.
I heard they're talking about doing an Atlantis comic book that would
continue the storyline.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah. Lower production costs.
Yeah.
Vastly lower.
And, you know, they did have, you know, these galactic storylines, so that would actually be something that they could do. I think that would work better than the Buffy comics.
We talk about how with modern CG television and movies can pretty much do anything they want. Well, not exactly. They can't do anything they want. They can do anything they can afford.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You can do anything you can afford.
No, I agree with that.
The thing, like comic books really can do whatever they want, and they've demonstrated this numerous times.
It looks a bit crap, but yes.
depends on who your penciler is.
I know who you're thinking of. You're thinking like Jim Lee, who can draw just about anything and make it gorgeous. Yeah. What is this, Jim? Oh, it's a pile of crap. That is a gorgeous pile. Can you sign that for me?
Do you mind if I have this blown into a poster?
You need to pull me up some of this Jim Lee stuff.
It'll be in the visual reference.
Yes, it will be in the visual reference. Jim Lee is fucking amazing. I could, you know, used to get those comics and I would just read it. And I would, it would take me 40 minutes to read a comic because I would spend a minute staring at each panel.
All right. I guess I have looked at some of the better, more famous comics that are supposed to have some of the well-known artists on them, and I'm not seeing any huge leaps in quality
from what
the average comic looks like.
But. I tell you what. I'm not calling these people wrong for having a different taste or a different appreciation. But there are some people that have mistaken lots of boobs for great drawing ability.
No, that's not my issue.
No, but I'm saying that exists. And so some people say, oh, man, you got to get this comic book or this series of books or this novel because the art is so great. And that's air quotes on that. The art is really lots of boobs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not opposed to boobs, but
that line gets confusing for some people.
It is, and there are some, you know, it's subjective, right?
Indeed.
For the penciler. So like, if you like this style, or you like that style.
Jim Lee is pretty well fucking respected.
Well, it's because a lot of people are good at doing one character, right? They have a very distinctive style that fits with that character, but they can't.
Or has become associated with that character.
Or has been associated with that, but it doesn't port very well to other characters in that same universe.
You know, like Batman has a style, and there are several different styles, and people get really invested in one particular style of Batman that they identify as this is the definitive Bat.
Yeah.
And you know, I like Jim Lee. Like there are people like Jim Lee, Mark Silvestri. These are people that probably haven't penciled anything in a long time. I don't know. I haven't read it in a while. But like they can draw. You say, all right, I need you to draw the Fantastic Four. Done. I need you to draw the Hulk. Done. I need you to draw Galactus. Done. I need you to draw Ghost Rider. Done. And they all look amazing, right? Whereas, you know, who is it? Arthur Adams, I think. Because they used him for the Infinity Gauntlet storyline. And the reason they used him is because that storyline drew in all of the characters from the entire Marvel Universe. And they needed somebody that can draw all of them well. Right? Yeah. And so that was... I'm probably getting the guy's name wrong. But that worked, right? So you read this like, okay, I can read this. This is great because this guy can draw everybody. And nobody looks out of place.
Right.
You know, they draw them
the way you expect them to look.
Right.
And doing cool shit. They're not just standing there.
And the thing is, the artists have become more stylized. Like if you go back to a certain point, everybody kind of drew the same.
Sure.
Right. Everything, all the characters kind of look the same.
The comic book cell shaded look.
Yeah. That general look.
Shirt here I'm wearing.
Not too far from that, actually.
Yeah, not too far from that. Yeah. Basically. So I wouldn't be able to look at a comic and go, oh, so-and-so drew that. But then they started to kind of become more distinctive in their styles.
I think it was the printing ability got better.
It did. But, I mean, if you go and you look at, like, the Secret Wars, right? And, again, that was another comic that drew in characters from the entire Marvel Universe, right? So it had the X-Men, the Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, the Avengers, you know, and all of their appropriate villains and everything. And, you know, it looks great. And nobody looks out of place. They all look like they're, you know, they all belong together in the same thing. You know, like Rob Liefeld can't really do that very well.
I don't know Rob Liefeld.
Well, you know, his style became completely synonymous with like the New Mutants and X-Force. But, you know, every now and again you have that Spider-Man crossover and you're like, that's not Spider-Man. That's not Spider-Man. That's not right.
That's not Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's not Spider-Man. You know. Joe Manduera, that guy's also good. You know what? Whatever. We should probably just shut this down. Otherwise, I'm going to sit here and jizz over all
my memories.
I got
one more thing for you, Patrick. If you could have Jim Lee sit down and create for you a collage or a scene of anything, any characters, any situation, what would you have him create? What would you have him draw for you? Let's say he doesn't have all the time in the world. And you can put three characters in it, but the background or any object in there that you want.
The background and any object that I would want. Okay. I know who he's good at. and I know who he's really good at. That is damn difficult.
You pick an action scene, or like one of the cover shots where they have an event, you know, or an introduction scene where they have the hero pose going on?
If I could have him draw something for me, it would probably be probably a hero pose.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, that's so cliche. Probably, you know, Wolverine, Superman, and Batman. Just because I've seen him do Superman and Batman recently when he did Hush. So, and his Wolverines are great. I you know.
So that, because of those characters, I want to know what the setting is that you've got them. Because the Wolverine pose, for hero pose, is he doing the thing where he's got his claws down at his side? Or is he doing the hunched over with his claws out like, this is go time?
Probably claws at the side. Down, claws at the side.
Yep.
Brian's spacing out. I will. I have the image. I'll upload it somewhere so you can see it. It's kind of this image that he made famous. Like a lot of people have drawn Wolverine with his claws out, kind of hunched over, but Jim Lee did it in such a way that became that's what that pose is. Anybody else that draws that is kind of doing their interpretation of his work. I sound like a fucking art student talking about a Monet or something like this.
No, not at all. This is something you've appreciated, and you're trying to relate that appreciation at my goading, I'll have it,
yeah,
I'll admit.
Yeah.
But still, I think that the premise you've got, I still need to know the setting, though.
Well, Wolverine claws out, Batman batarang at the ready, and behind the both of them, so you look and you're like, okay, Batman, all right, that's not cool. Wolverine, okay, this is probably going to get dicey. And then behind them, kind of floating in the air, Superman, eyes glowing red, just kind of floating, you know, ready to beat the shit out of something. Where it's just like, oh yeah, yeah, you thought
I got next.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You thought you was fucked with these two. You don't even understand how pissed off I am. I don't normally kill people. I'm thinking about killing your ass.
Let's see how your adamantium does when it starts expanding from heat.
Having a Zack Snyder day.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So are we like on a rooftop? Is it daytime? Is it nighttime? Are we on the top of a tower that's exploding and falling over?
The random antenna that's just falling down. No, it would be. It would be rocky. Like there would be not. There'd be rubble. Let's put it that way.
Rubble.
So it'd be in this thing of rubble with a little bit of smoke coming up from wherever the fucking rubble was.
So this battle's been going on for a while, and we've got a snapshot.
Yes. Yes. And this is all right, let's regroup, and okay, all right. We tested them. They came back with their B game. Let's bring our A game, boys. And you're like, all right.
And this is which incarnation of the bat?
I'm not sure I understand what you're asking.
So
basically, Batman from Hush. I don't know if you're familiar with that little mini series, but
no. But it's not the super techno Batman.
No. It's good old fashioned
cowled Bruce. Yeah.
You know,
All right.
Suit, utility belt.
Well, I gotta say that sounds pretty badass to me.
Yeah. Now you got my mouth all ready to.
I had a similar question for you, Steve.
Okay.
So, Paramount and CBS come to you and they say, JJ died. We want you to figure out what to do for the 50th for Star Trek. What would you say? What would you tell them?
So, here's what I would do. Instead of trying to produce something that is in the same vein of what we've already gotten from them, I would say start releasing original scripts, you know, publish them so that people can see how the show got started. Release the pitch that was made to get the show off the ground so we could see what the original, this is what we want to do, any sort of test footage they shot. I would start selling off props to raise money for whatever cause you want to choose, whatever strikes the fancy of the people there. Sell off some original props, because hoarding them away and keeping them in the vault for some eventual someday is never going to be as good as having them in the hands of people that appreciate them today.
Yes.
I would have, get the remaining cast that aren't assholes back together on a stage and ask them, you know, do you do filmed interviews if you have to make sure that the production is of good enough quality? Because, I mean, fucking, they're old fuckers now. They're going to be drooling and farting and having to rub Ben Gay on their knees. So might as well get it shot in a can and then have, you know, do a mini series of, you know, production notes, and this is how, you know, the story got evolved and the history of the show. Okay. That's going to mean a lot more in the end than trying to ramshackle some connected piece of history and pretend like this all went on in the background. They don't have the capacity to structure a new story that connects to all the old stories. It would never happen like it did for Doctor Who.
All right. So, okay, so kind of like, I mean, Doctor Who did an Adventure in Time and Space where they showed, like, how the show got started as a docudrama. You'd want to go back and do something, either an outright documentary or maybe even a docudrama.
Do some service to the fans.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't have been 50 years later that this is still a relevant world for storytelling if it wasn't for the fans that kept it alive.
All right. I could see a Star Trek, making of Star Trek docudrama being, I mean, everyone would say it's a copy of Doctor Who, but you could, there's still a good story to tell there. And I think, I mean, even if the idea was an outright ripoff, the story would be its own story, and it could be quite good if you did it right.
The idea of telling how something got started isn't exclusively Doctor Who's.
No, it's just that since Doctor Who just did it for their 50th, everyone would be pointing. But I'd be okay with that, because as long as the product was good. So.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the other thing they need to do is stick all the shit on Blu-ray and start selling a special edition of that. Not particularly because I want it, but because it'll sell, and that's what
I think they
does
are Blu-raying the next generation as fast as they can economically convert.
Well, but so. Still, that's not what we're talking about, really. I mean, that can be a segment in the broader scale. Right, we're talking about the original series.
Well, those are out on Blu-ray.
They have to release a special edition for the 50th.
Okay.
That's what I misspoke. Right, but that's what they got to do, even though it exists already.
Okay.
Then you get whatever the docudrama is included with that.
Okay.
And it's new content, and they'll sell them, and don't worry about it. It makes some money.
All right. What would you do, Patrick? 50th Star Trek.
Wow, you should start with me. I am amazed that you just rattled that off like you had prepared that.
No.
Even though, no, I know you didn't. I know that just came out of the blue where you're like, oh, well, you do this, that, and the other thing. I have no idea. I like your suggestion. I would, well, personally, since I'm a fan of Star Trek, I would like to see, maybe they continue with another series, but my trepidation with that would be, doing it right, is it something that we haven't seen already? You got to keep it fresh and whatever without this unfortunate gritty rebooting of everything.
You want to ungrit?
We need to ungrit because Star Trek is, we figured it out, people. I don't even know how. We just know that at some point humanity can be the shining beacon. You know, we can fulfill our potential. And then we go out through space, we explore, we learn new things, we meet other people, and they don't have their shit together. That's fine, though. We can, you know, even in the midst of being at war with other people, we can still, you know, be, you know, have the moral high ground. And even if, you know, we get tested, we don't fail the test, right? That's the takeaway, is that when the tests come, you can overcome it. You can beat it and do whatever. And so the whole gritting of everything where, well, it turns out everybody's just an evil asshole.
Defined by our conflict.
Yeah, we're defined by our conflict, internal and external, and all that. that's not what I want. So if they could work that out in time for a 50th and use that as a launch pad, but
for like a new show,
for a new show, I mean, I think that would be, and
that'd
just
be
kind
great
of see,
marketing.
You know, this is how we got here. So all of the docudrama stuff that you're talking about is, you know,
a lead into
that.
Yeah. Well, hell yeah, I could see that being good.
No, I think I'd have to go with both. I mean, I was going to say what Patrick said. Just have a new series come out in September 2016 premiere, and you know, build it up, advertise the shit out of it. But a whole new series, probably set in the original continuity, though it doesn't have to be tied slavishly to it. You know, it could be in its own century or whatever. But yeah, new series. Intelligence, get some real science advisors and give them some authority over the thing.
As long as it's not Neil deGrasse Tyson, I'm good.
You know, give them like they did with Stargate Universe and most of the Stargates. I mean, that was a formula that worked.
I tell you what, man, that would be fucking amazing if they start introducing like real science into their technobabble.
Yeah, no.
That would be a hell of a thing.
Yeah, it would be great.
Instead of inverting the plasma coils and... Yeah. The phase inducers and all kinds of other shit.
Here's the deal. I don't even
scramble in there.
I don't even necessarily, at this point, I don't even need it to be the Enterprise anymore. I mean, there's a whole giant universe. It doesn't have to be a Kirk or someone or that ship. It could be something completely different. Because the Enterprise is now, like, it's the flagship. Military tradition is once that name gets assigned to a flagship, that's pretty much what it is. You're not going to make the Enterprise H isn't going to be a science vessel that, you know, with a crew complement of 50 people.
Well, maybe in the reboot, there's less grit and they don't need a gigantic military warship.
Well, but even then, it's not like even the Sovereign class, it isn't a warship. The only real warship is the Defiant class, right?
Yeah,
so it's still like, oh, no. We've got this big giant thing. It's got all these, you know, all these sensor suites and all this other stuff. And, you know, every now and again, we might want to fly next to a sun that's a star that's about to go supernova. So we need shields and, you know, all that shit for that. And yeah, you know, people will start some shit. So we'll put some phasers on it and whatever. But it's, you know, I still got my kids in the, you know, they're in the zoo downstairs on this fucking ship.
Yeah. So, on the zoo deck?
Yeah, on the zoo deck. The fucking zoo deck.
Yeah.
It's like this Spaceball one, right? You know, I mean. Yeah, oh, yeah, no, there's a school, and there's a petting zoo.
Cancel the three-ring circus.
I got puppies running around and 10 forward.
On the puppy deck.
On the puppy deck. Yeah, puppy deck. There's a puppy deck, a kitty deck.
That would be so amazing.
So cute. And you know what? They could all be holographic, so there isn't shit everywhere.
Even better.
Aww. You know, you have stress. Have we been having tough negotiations with the Romulans? Take your ass to the puppy deck and get yourself some R&R.
Oh, who's a puppy? Who's a good puppy?
You can combine things that would never work in reality, right? You can be sitting on the beach in Maui, sipping on Mai Tais, covered in kittens.
Kittens that were humanely declawed because they never scratch you when they're snuggling on your face because they're holographic.
That's right.
So you never have to worry about any of that bullshit. And... this program, the cat doesn't put its ass in your face. Just as like, hi, how you doing? Smell my asshole. These cats don't do that. Yeah. They're all very nice and all well behaved. And
that's
right. They just purr. They just rub against your leg. Like,
and then occasionally they do stupid shit and fall off things.
Oh, they fall off stuff. That's and right. Then every now and again, a laser pointer will just drop.
Laser
onto
pointer
the beach,
land.
And then all it's like three dozen kittens just chase this one laser pointer across the beach. How cute would that fucking be? How could you be upset?
One of them bites a lime, makes a sour face.
How could anybody be like, you know what? Ah, oh, those Klingons are getting them. Oh, but look at all these kittens. Oh, no, this is great. I love this. This is wonderful.
You just forget to leave your communicator on.
It does sound significantly more entertaining to watch than Counselor Troy.
Yeah,
so,
well,
as far as cheering you up and helping you.
I don't mind a couple of scenes with Counselor Troy.
All Counselor Troy does is take you to the holodeck and be like, all right, you know what? You like Malamutes. I'm giving you Malamute puppies. There you go. Have at it. They're like, oh, God, this is awesome. And then when Worf goes, is like, you know what? Targ puppies. Oh, Targ puppy. Because a Targ puppy would probably maul the shit out of like a regular like Wolverine or something.
He starts feeding it kittens.
And he says, exactly. There you go. Feed it holographic kittens. And the Taurian like stalks them and then eats them, rips their spines out. And Worf's like, oh,
I get to teach it to hunt.
I feel so much better. K-Less is there like, throw him another kitten. Throw him another kitten. Oh, yes. Oh, and then
he needs a catapult.
They butt heads and they punch each other in the face. And he's like, oh, this is great. Oh, I feel great. All right, I'm ready to get back to work. This is awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know. But even then, not a warship. So, you know, they could figure that shit out. It's just.
You know, your vision of the Enterprise H starting to sound a lot like Babylon 5, maybe. Just a giant mega city.
No, it didn't need to be. No, it needs to be maneuverable. It's not,
there needs to be some Trek in our stuff.
Yeah, no, there's.
There needs to be some Trek.
It's that Deep Space Nine. But how about this? Deep Space Nine with the world, with the universe's largest warp coils on it. So the station could just travel at like warp 9.95. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. Did you.
In the new continuity for our imagined reboot. They have a new faster-than-light methodology where they can pinch space-time and just warp right through.
Well, you know what?
Infinite speed.
I'll take the trans-warp conduits from, and not from the Borg even. I'll take it from that one episode of Voyager where the, or no, what was it? The dinosaur descendants.
Oh, yes.
The Voth, yeah. The Voth had some fast fucking ships. And you know what? I'll take some Voth technology. That was, Or that one where that guy who he blamed them for the Borg assimilating his people, and so he's going to trick them into getting on board his ship and then deliver that ship back to the Borg. But that had a really
Dauntless was the name of
that
ship?
The Dauntless.
I can't remember the alien's name, but I think the ship was the Dauntless.
And it had this really cool trans warp effect where it was basically this tunnel, this green tunnel that you're traveling through, and you know. So the Voyager's chasing after this ship, and they catch up to it. They figure out, okay, well, we can modulate the deflector and, you know, punch a hole and get into this conduit. And so that was a really cool effect for, like, fighting at warp, you know. I mean, we've seen them fight at warp before, and it's kind of like, oh, little streaks of stars. So it was new. I like it. But yeah, something like that. They can go faster, but it only you need... In order to power that thing, you need the power plant for a space station, and that's why the space station can travel and not, you know, your regular ships. Because the ship would basically be all engine with a little itty-bitty, like, habitable thing on the top. So,
it's got a cockpit and a bubble on
top.
Yeah,
pretty much. It's like, a crew complement.
Where do you want to go? I don't know.
But
we're
going to
leave a hole in space-time the size of this ship.
I'm going to punch a hole in space-time, like, through a virgin's panties. Anyway, So yeah, but then if those fuckers got stuck in a Delta Quadrant, who gives a shit? I got a whole solid station here. It's fine.
I would like them to be able to solve more problems non-violently.
That's true. Yeah. Although,
you know,
TNG did a lot of non-violent problem solving.
Yeah,
they did a lot.
That was a good thing.
Yeah, it was. Yes. It was. And Captain Picard was always like, you know, if you piss me off enough, I might just shoot you because I can kill all you people with this fucking shit.
In
you
that
know
sense,
this, right?
The threat of violence is the same as actual violence,
really?
In that sense.
Really?
Yeah, because but Picard didn't play that card.
He didn't play
almost
that card.
Never.
Almost never. I'll grant you that. But as for what I'm shooting for, that would be a no-no as well. That would be just as bad.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
It's a bully.
You're
a bully.
No, he didn't. But he didn't do it. Like even that one episode where the guy showed up and he was using, you know, chemical lasers to attack the shields of the Enterprise, and Worf was like, "Oh God, Captain, they're using." Using lasers, negligible damage, Captain. Holy shit! Oh God, he shot us with rockets! Oh my God, this asshole shot fucking rockets! This, be proud of this bitch with antimatter! Oh shit! I'm sorry, Captain. It's fucking rockets, man. I mean, damn. And even then, Captain Picard was like, "All right, well, I'm gonna talk to you like you're an equal, because you know." I don't
and
bring that fucking rocket shit to my table, but
that's,
whatever.
That's exactly what I want to see.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's what he mostly did.
But I want to see some of that, some more spy shit. You know what I mean?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like,
not really.
Like,
what do you Yeah, I mean,
you don't have to have the greatest imagined particle beam weapon or photon torpedo or disruptor. You could kill a motherfucker with just some poison on the end of a stick.
Do you want spies on the Enterprise or the Enterprise to be doing spy shit?
Well, when they leave the ship, all bets are off, right? Okay.
No. I'm not sure I get... When they leave the ship, Troy's just spiking drinks left and right. Like, yeah, this is how the Federation maintains power, bitch.
They've
got
them from within. I'm talking about this is a part of the storyline that's happening. Yeah. All the old ways to kill people still work. You know what I mean? Just because we've got ways to end planets doesn't mean that sticking a motherfucker with a shank doesn't work.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me get this straight. You want Geordi to go to a planet and shank motherfuckers?
I didn't say our crew is doing it.
Okay. Other people are doing it to the crew.
Oh. So our crew is just red shirts getting killed left and right with shanks?
All I'm saying is everything doesn't have to be high tech for the sake of high tech.
Yeah.
No, I know. I was just imagining Beverly Crusher going, what the fuck happened?
With a sharpened toothbrush.
Is it?
What the fuck's a toothbrush?
Is it a phaser wound or like? No, it's a hole. It's a hole in my ass. What? Where? Was this? Was this like some?
A hole.
Was this a Borg
like
thing?
Like through space time? No, bitch. Hole in my ass.
He took a fork and he jammed it in my ass.
Then broke it off.
Would you pull that out, please?
I believe there's feces on this fork.
I'm going to have to go to the database. Hang on.
Fork wound.
I think if you talk to Guinan, she's familiar with this form of attack.
Is she Guinan's familiar with a punctured doctor? Lung?
No, but she forked Q real good.
Oh, yeah.
I would like it to see a little more, real human peril.
Yeah.
You know, and accidents. Why aren't there any accidents in Star Trek?
Because they got that shit figured out.
But accidents happen all the time.
We're
still people.
They've done some accident stories. They've done some.
Quantum filament. That's a fucking accident if I ever heard one.
And the one where the reactor blew and they did the witch hunt because they thought and it was just bad engineering.
Actually, no. There are a lot of accidents. The one where everybody devolved because, Barclay got a cold on some fucking planet and it turned into a virus that devolved everybody. That was just a fucking accident.
Yeah.
I understand, but that's a pretty high-tech accident.
Every time the holodeck... Well, what? So what? You want the bolts to fall out of the panels when the captain sits down? Captain sits in the chair and falls on his ass?
So awesome. That would be so awesome.
Somebody just got their ass decommissioned and exiled. You know, that would be the one time it would be appropriate to exile somebody as the fucking frost
planet.
We're
going to stick you in a photon torpedo and launch you onto another planet.
Mr. LaForge? Why is my ass on the floor? Because I sent a maintenance crew up here to tighten the bolts, and they greased them, and they didn't put them back.
They improperly adjusted the torque wrench.
Yeah. Well, see, this is supposed to have 40 foot-pounds, and this is, or sorry, Newton meters. And
you asked, Captain, you said we didn't need any more fucking self-sealing stem bolts, as I recall. I believe that was your exact words, sir.
Steve wants to see the turbo lift just get stuck in between floors. The whole episode is Riker stuck in the turbo lift.
No, because that happened. We saw that.
Yeah. No. That was the quantum filament.
Yeah.
You're just saying like some random accident where the fucking thing is just like.
But random accidents happen all the time. Like people bump into doorways and shit and stub their toe.
Brian showed up with his shoulder all
dislocated.
The only
one that really does that was like
Worf did
Barclay
all the time.
And mm-hmm. Data.
Yes, Data does have the occasional fuck up. But Worf, no, who was it? What? One of them showed up and they had like a broken arm because they were like wanting to go hardcore on Parisi Squares or whatever the fuck that
was. Yeah, there was something like that, yeah.
Wasn't that Barclay? I don't know. Yeah. But yeah. Well, here's the thing. We can discuss it further on what type of accidents would be acceptable. I'm pretty sure after like 400 years, somebody's figured out how to put some subroutines on the elevator to make sure it doesn't stop in between floors.
Okay.
So the door's open, it's like halfway.
What about pranks? You could send someone, you could set someone's door chime to be the Macarena.
The Macarena isn't in the archives.
Sure it is.
They purged that shit during the Third World War.
Yeah, that was the cause of the Third World War.
That's why we went to war, was to get rid of all these fuckers singing the Macarena. Hey, Macarena! Asshole. Door pranks. Somebody fucks around and pranks the wrong person, and now the captain's pissed off. That's why you don't do it. He sticks wharf on you.
You could reverse the gravity in someone's quarters.
Again, pranks are all fun, except that there's this faster-than-light computer that's monitoring everything in the ship and has a record of it for like the last 5 years.
Yes.
Computer, who accessed the gravity controls? This asshole right here. Computer, where is that asshole? Follow the blinking lights. It will lead you to this asshole.
That's right. I think it's a great idea.
He walks into the conference room in the middle of a meeting, like, and he just covered in pink water or something, the replicator, and did some shit. He's like, you motherfucker. Like,
he replicates a trout and smacks him with it.
That's why you don't want it to be a gang war, because they could just replicate pitchforks and torches just at the drop of a hat. Computer, my armor. All right, motherfucker, let's do this. Computer, shank number 2, length 5.
I would like a trout, cold.
Trout half dead.
Still whipping around, flopping around on the deck. Flops.
It just replicates the Billy Bass that sings.
Yeah, yeah. Happy.
If you want to be happy, you should go to our website. It's scifishow.net. From there, you can get links to all of our social media connections, Facebook, the iTunes where you can subscribe. We're on Stitcher Radio. We're on Twitter at Sci-Fi Show. We're on Google Plus at gplus.to/Sci-Fi Show. So until next time, thank you for downloading, listening, and subscribing to the show. We certainly appreciate it. I'm Steve.
This is Patrick.
This is Brian. Beam me up.
See ya.